This episode of the Potterverse is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. As you are probably well aware of, I love to play with makeup. It makes me feel pulled together. It gives me my moment of sanity. I actually often put my makeup on while I'm listening to the audiobooks of Harry Potter. Jim Dale just makes me feel pulled together as well. Well done, Jim Dale. Well done. So my favorite mascara, my 4D mascara, is always on sale for our, well, not always, but this summer it's on sale for our podcast listeners by going to MinuteWithMary.com/discount. We'll get you a discount on my favorite mascara. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Everybody and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I am terrible with keys. I'm terrible with keys.
You are, actually.
I am awful with them. I have one key. That's for my car. Other than that, everything else is...
I mean, you have keys.
I have keys.
You lose them all the time.
Lose them all the time.
Yeah.
So what we did is we actually did a digital combination for our house. So that way... That way we didn't need keys.
Who has keys nowadays? A lot of people still do, but let's be real. I want to thank those of you who are able to join us right now live on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And those of you who are taking the time to hit that share button like Patricia from Bolivia. Thank you so much. Remember to write Expecto Patronum after you've shared on one of our social medias. And I wanted to also remind all of you who are listening who are not yet getting our complimentary text reminders, you can text the phone number 81010 and in the message at Elder Wand, ELDERWAND, and I will text you when we are able to go live so you too can join in the conversation.
Yes, that's right. So yeah, thank you everybody for joining us today. We're talking about chapter 4, The Keeper of the Keys. We're going to have some fun, lots to unpack.
Woo!
Lots. It reminds me of Hagrid. Lots to buy.
Lots to buy.
Lots to buy. Lots to unpack.
Oh my God, he's so good.
Very excited
he's
by
so
this
good.
One.
All right.
And yeah. So want to remind you everybody to go to maryandblake.com. Check out all the great podcasts that we have there. We're just about to finish up Keep Calm and Crown On, which has just been renewed for season 6. So you're going to get more Keep Calm and Crown On than you actually bargained for to begin with.
So excited.
Which I'm very happy about.
Love it.
And then we also have the Hamilton podcast. So for all of you Hamilton nerds out there that have been watching it as of late, you get a chance to listen
Rise
to
up.
Our podcast called Rise Up. Check us out on social media. Mary and Blake, thank you for all the reviews that you've been giving us. Keep giving them to us if you find that there is enough value in this show for you when it comes to Harry Potter. And speaking of value, if you'd like, go to the jointhenerdclan.com. And if you find value for the show, go to jointhenerdclan.com, become a member there, and get
some
all the...
Some people might get confused, because jointhenerdclan.com, is that the same as outlandercastclan.com
yes,
currently?
It is.
Okay, so if you are not necessarily an Outlander cast listener, it's another podcast that we do. Currently, it's under the same Patreon website. So if you're already a member of the OutlanderCastClan.com, you're good. You're in the same thing.
Yeah, same
or
thing.
Or jointhenerdclan.com.
Yeah, same
it's
thing.
Same
just,
thing.
It's just a different name. Different name for different
Basically,
podcasts.
If you appreciate what we do and you'd like to support us, you can head on over to either of those websites as we will gladly thank your participation.
All right, Marvin, you ready to get into this bad boy?
I sure am.
Let's do it.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
All right, so we're kicking things off. Chapter 4 in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, The Keeper of the Keys. And my quote for this chapter, you guys, ready? "And here's Harry," said the giant. Harry looked up into the fierce, wild, shadowy face and saw that the beetle eyes were crinkled in a smile. "Last time I saw you, you was only a baby," said the giant. "You look like a lot like your dad. But you got your mom's eyes."
Oh, man.
and I cannot speak Hagrid talk, no matter how hard I try.
But you've got your mum's eyes.
You look a lot like your dad. But see, now I just become like a little leprechaun.
Yeah, you sound a little Irish.
I'm the opposite of Hagrid. I'm like a wee little man doing a wee jig. You look a lot like your dad.
Oh, man.
Anyway, that's the quote, because that is the first time that we hear that Harry looks like his parents. Mm-hmm. You know, particularly we hear a lot about how his mom's eyes and his are the same. But even the fact that he looks like his dad, you know, we hear that time and time again. Oh, you Slughorn. Oh, but you got your mom's eyes. And Sirius even thinks that Harry in the third book is James because he looks so much like James as all that is happening. So it's just, you know, I love that this is the first time that we see that Harry looks like his parents, especially his mom's eyes.
Yes, totally agree. Totally agree. You know, I am in love with this chapter. All of the chapters that are in the beginning of this book are just spectacular, and it's a testament to the author for, again, we've made a big deal of this, how she built her world, how she created it, and set up a ton of stuff that you have no idea about going forward. I mean, just that you already said it right here.
I mean,
Robin.
We do.
I mean, yeah, we do. But as you're reading it, you look a lot like your dad, but you've got your mom's eyes, and that becomes one of a massively huge trait of Harry's.
Yeah,
a massively huge trait of Harry. So, Marvin, what sticks out to you most in this particular chapter so far that you think is deserving of talking about?
Everything. Because, you know, granted, it's quick synopsis. Hagrid busts in the door in the little shack that the Dursleys were hiding in with Harry, tells Harry he's a wizard, tells everybody everything that happened to the Potters in a quick little bit, feeds Harry because he's hungry.
Right.
And turns Dudley into having a pigtail. That's really like the quick synopsis, but you're asking what pulls at me?
Yeah, like what gets you? What makes it spins your jib?
So the keeper of the keys.
Okay.
Can we just like unlock that for a second?
Oh yay. Bam. Just like that. Good job, Mary.
Of course, Hagrid comes in and introduces himself as the keeper of the keys of Hogwarts. And we've learned in other publications that he has keys to lock and unlock every door, every lock on the castle and on the grounds. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty awesome, and you could just picture him having this giant ring of keys, something kind of like what you have, but you always do lose it.
Lose it all the time.
And it's big. It's terrible. A big collection of keys. I don't know how you're able to lose them, but he sure does.
That's what she said!
So I just loved the title of this, because of course this is his profession, but he unlocks the wizarding world for Harry. Mm-hmm. He is the key to Harry learning about his true identity and to his past and what actually happened to his parents. Like, Hagrid is literally the key to opening up the rest of Harry's life.
Good job, Marvin. That is good stuff.
You're welcome.
Bringing the heat right away.
I've been off decaf for a week and a half. My brain's finally coming back. This is just water.
One of the things that I really like about this...
Not off decaf.
No, you've been off caffeine.
Shoot. I'm not okay yet.
No, you're still not okay. One of the things I really like about this chapter is the fact that Hagrid, as you said, is the key, but he also provides a sense of home for Harry. Immediately, what happens is Hagrid shows up and starts making a fire. He makes it quite homey. He sits down, makes himself very comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Very quickly, just like totally in, ready to go.
Yep.
And
he's like my mom. He brought his own food.
Yeah, right.
You know those people that show up and you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's what we're doing.
They're using my microwave. Do you know how this is going? No, I love my mom, but you know what I mean? Who brings that many sausages in your pocket?
Yeah, it sets up a fire.
Is that a sausage, or you just have me to say what's going on?
Oh, that's
just...
Okay. That's what she said.
Yeah, right?
You walked into that one.
I totally did. It's a sausage.
Sets all this up. And not only that, he gives Harry a home that the Dursleys never have. At all. He literally feeds Harry, which, as we know from the previous chapters, Harry is skinny and gaunt and almost emaciated because he's never really been fed properly, and he hasn't been able to feed himself. So he's relied on the Dursleys, who have never done that. And not only...
This is the kid of the 90s, though. I'm like, where's his stash of Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, right? Oh, come on, right? Or Gushers? Like, where are your Gushers at, man?
Buddy.
Come on.
Kids who were raised in the 90s knew how to inhale a copious amount of calories in a quick time.
and not only that, he gives Harry a cake, which is a big deal. And
he celebrates Harry's birthday.
And the funny thing is, in the film, he doesn't spell it correctly. He spells it H-A-P-E-E, birthday, with the A-E at the end.
Yeah, this chapter, I mean, I love meeting Hagrid in the movies, but I prefer meeting Hagrid in the book because the movies dumbs Hagrid down so much. Like you said, first off, the cake is chocolate and it has green frosting. He spells happy birthday correctly.
Right.
Like, this is a... grown giant man, who, yes, was kicked out of school at the mere age of 13 or 14, but he still knew how to spell, and he still is in charge of a great deal of things. So it is odd when the movie portrays him to be like this dumb, sweetie oaf, when he can still be a sweetie oaf and know how to spell happy birthday.
Right, right.
Goodness
and
gracious.
Which is funny because it... You know, in the film, it portrays, obviously, Hagrid as not the smartest bulb, not the brightest bulb. Like, he's just a simple, happy, fun kind of guy, which is great. I mean, it matches that character. But I think one of the confusing things in this chapter is that when Harry starts talking about Voldemort, he says, oh, I don't want to say the name. Then he's like, okay, well, then you can spell it. He's like, I can't spell it anyway.
I mean, let's be real. It is a difficult name to spell if you hadn't been reading it.
Right. But it stands in contrast, I feel like.
To happy birthday?
To happy birthday.
I appreciate
that. And this is one of those small things that I think is just a nerd little thing that I'm latching onto. Like, it's one of those, it's an earworm. It's essentially, it's a brain eater. Why can he spell happy birthday, Harry, perfectly fine?
Yeah.
And seem like he's able to write letters.
Yes.
He's able to ride a flying motorcycle. Yeah. Yet he can't spell Voldemort.
Because I doubt people were like writing about Voldemort. They don't even want to say his name. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's Voldemort, but it's with a T at the end. So I completely believe if this is a name that you haven't said forever and you don't write down in notes, you're not like, oh, I wonder what Voldemort's up to since he's been gone for 11 years, like, or 10 years. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You're not writing it. So I can let that one slide.
Well, you know, that's a funny thing, too, because some of the listeners here at last episode had made mention of how we're pronouncing Voldemort. Because in the film, it's Voldemort.
This is a debacle.
Yeah, this is a big deal. Tell me about the debacle.
The author says it's Voldemort, like with no T, hard T sound at the end. More like how you'd say it in French.
Sure.
So Voldemort. The audiobooks by Jim Dale, books, I believe, 1 through 4 have Voldemort. And then book 5, movies had come out where they said Voldemort. And he switched over to Voldemort. So for half of the Harry Potter Audible series with Jim Dale, he says Voldemort the way that the author had wanted it to be said.
Mm-hmm.
And the other half...
It's Voldemort.
It's the same as the
So
movies.
Can we just adopt Voldemort? Can we just adopt it?
I say potato, potato, even though who the heck says potato?
Nobody says potato.
So I frequently will say Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
Just because...
I'm sticking with Voldemort.
Let's
That's it.
Awesome.
I'm doing it.
I dig this.
I'm doing it just to be different.
Which team are you guys on? Let us know. Hard tea or soft French tea? Ooh, oui, oui.
How this chapter also begins, too, is with the boom, a second boom, the one that follows right after chapter 3. And another fantastic way to open up this chapter, because... Hagrid's boom, the door literally crashing down, is the Dursleys' hold on Harry crashing down. It's their last defense. It's their last little bit to hold on to their normalcy. And Uncle Vernon is doing the best that he can, even holding a gun. And as much as that doesn't even matter to Hagrid, dry up, Dursley, you great... prune.
So it was another great chapter where they've pulled straight lines. However, you're a wizard, Harry, is not how it's said in the book. In
really?
The book, it's Harry, you're a wizard.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And yet we all hear it, you're a wizard, Harry, in our minds.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. That does not happen in the book.
Sounds better that way. Sounds better in the film.
Where's Missy Elliott? The flip it and reverse it. That's all I can
that
do.
Was
Thanks,
that was bad.
Thanks, Blake.
That was bad. You
Thanks.
Know what that was?
Not
you know?
Great, Bob.
You know, it's not like you're married to me.
Oh, man.
Hagrid is a Gryffindor. Okay?
Okay.
And you see that tremendously in this chapter. Because I think that many people will feel like, Hagrid, is he really a Gryffindor? This man is brave, okay? He was told by Dumbledore, you might have a little bit of difficulty making sure that Harry gets his letter. Dumbledore knows darn well what Hagrid has had to put himself into, and yet he's still doing it. He's still showing up in the middle of the storm, bends that pistol, that gun, the rifle that's put right in front of his face, mm-hmm. and stands up to these muggles and decides to, rather than say, Harry, I'm not the one who's supposed to tell you this, I'm going to let somebody else tell you this, he sits down, takes care of Harry, but tells him the truth. Like, he is brave enough to tell him, your parents were murdered by a terrible, terrible wizard mm-hmm. who, you know, Codswallop might still be alive. I don't really know how to break this to you. And you're a wizard, too. So I love that Hagrid's a different type of Gryffindor than we usually get to see. He's more sure. like, he's got some Neville in him, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, not as good looking as Neville now, I'll tell you that. Oh, current Neville?
Grown-up Neville.
Grown-up Neville.
that'll give me some gillyweed. I need to go cool off. Oh, my goodness. Seriously.
Oh, man. Oh, that was good.
You're welcome, Blake.
Grab me some gillyweed.
Grab me some gillyweed.
Yeah, no, he's not as good looking as modern day Neville, but very few people are.
But you know, he even says Voldemort's name. Like, people don't say the name. McGonagall's even afraid to say the name, and Hagrid does it. He's brave enough to say it mm-hmm. for Harry, so that Harry can know the truth. I'm like, there you go, a quieter, more demure Gryffindor. I love it.
Yeah, another thing that happens here too when Hagrid eventually tells him, and again, the Dursleys are holding on to everything. I mean, stop! I forbid you from, mm-hmm. you know, yells Uncle Vernon. He's telling him, you know, you're a wizard, Harry, essentially. That's what it comes down to. It's really nice, but one of the things that happens that the author does is really special is she talks about owls, and Harry has no idea what an owl does, why it doesn't. I mean, we've been introduced to the notion that owls bring bring letters, but you don't really get it. You kind of assume that they do that, but you're not 100% sure. Mm. And what happens is Hagrid writes this letter to Dumbledore. Hey, it even says it. Given Harry his letter, taking him to buy his things tomorrow. Weather's horrible. Hope you're well. And then Hagrid doesn't turn around and say, well, Harry, you know,
I'm going to take this here owl.
Right.
And he's going to take my letter because this is our mail.
And the...
Once again, I can't do a Hagrid voice to save my life.
The beautiful part is the author shows you instead of tells you mm-hmm. what exactly is happening. She writes,
throws it out the door.
Yeah, there's, I mean, for all the exposition that happens in this chapter, of which there is a lot. And by the way, that's okay because Hagrid is explaining it to Harry, who has no idea about any of this, about anything at all. And we too, as readers, have no idea what it is as well. So, because of that, the exposition here is perfect. But she does this one thing that I really like. She says, Hagrid rolled up the note, gave it to the owl, which clamped in its beak, went to the door, and threw the owl out into the storm. Then he came back and sat down as though this was as normal as talking on the telephone. And I love this, too. Galloping Gorgons, that reminds me, said Hagrid. clapping a hand to his forehead with enough force to knock over a cot horse, and yet from another pocket inside his overcoat, he pulled an owl, a real, live, rather ruffled-looking owl,
yeah.
A long quill and a roll of parchment. He does this after Harry says, what does it mean, they await my owl? Once he reads, actually reads the letter. So Hagrid could have sat down and said, well, Harry, this is what we do. This is how we send our mail. He doesn't do that. He just takes it out. Here it is. Go get him.
Craziness.
What do you think about that, Mary? Do you think that is the right choice, or do you think that was...
Oh my gosh, the complete right choice to just let us see how this is all going? I love it. I dig it. No?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I am in. Anytime as a storyteller that you have an opportunity to show your story, do so.
Yes.
Show it. Don't tell it. Stop telling me. Stop giving me dialogue to explain every little thing. I don't need it. And neither does Harry. We just get kind of thrown into it, and that's the right thing for me.
Speaking of right thing, I want to thank Susan Hurst and Anna Robin, who have Expecto Patronumed by sharing this on their walls.
Thank you guys for watching live and sharing.
Okay, so we've got Hagrid being the one that opens up this world. We get to see, rather than being told, many aspects of this magical life that we're just going to keep on ingesting. We frequently like to talk about, not frequently, but it's a thing that we're doing, is we're looking at a chapter from somebody else's perspective. And I think that it could be fun for us to look at it from Hagrid's perspective, but also Petunia's perspective.
Oh, sure.
So can I do Petunia in chat?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I kind of want to do Dudley, too.
Oh, yes.
Because you do Petunia.
So in this, we really get to understand where Petunia's hatred of the wizarding world comes from. And I just wanted to think about it from a different perspective. Granted, they are terrible, wretched, awful people who have belittled Harry, forced him to live in a cupboard under stairs, really, really mistreated him, both physically and emotionally. But it is interesting to hear how she talks about how her parents were so proud that Lily came home from school with all these spells and turning teacups into rats and all these things, which goes to show you that Lily was actually
I love this passage. So let me just read it real quick. You knew, said Harry, you knew I was a wizard? Knew, shrieked Aunt Petunia suddenly. Knew? Of course we knew. How could you not be my dratted sister, being what she was? Oh, she got a letter just like that and disappeared off to that school and came home every holiday with her pockets full of frog spawn, turning teacups into rats. I was the only one who saw her for what she was, a freak. But for my mother and my father, oh no, no, it was Lily this and Lily that. They were proud of having a witch in the family. She stopped to draw a deep breath and then went ranting on. It seemed she had been wanting to say this for years.
Oh my. So we get it out. We get it out in the open that for years she's been wanting to vent about how her parents were so proud of their daughter for becoming a witch. And what we, of course, know from later books is that Petunia desperately wanted to get into Hogwarts. So here she was denied. She got to see her sister do magic. This wasn't just something that she heard about willy-nilly. This was a real thing. We also learn in future books that she learns about the Dementors of Azkaban. She understands a bit of the danger of it.
Sure.
So here's where I wanted to take a different perspective. So this sister who she admired, who she wanted to go to the same school as, whose parents adored her and who she had to play second fiddle to and had all this deeply seated, jealousy over, gets killed by the most powerful dark wizard of their time,
mm-hmm.
who maybe Petunia had heard about. We don't know, but probably. Because it seems like Vernon, got to even meet Lily and James. It feels like that. Or at least he knew them when they were alive, before they got dead, because he knew them, obviously, before Harry was dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
Then Hagrid gets dropped off. And yes, Petunia has a terrible, terrible, terrible aunt. But could she also be not wanting Harry to go, not just because of the magical world being something that she hates, but actually because she's fearful for Harry?
Sure.
She's fearful for his life. She's heard of Dementors. Her own sister was killed and she didn't even get to say goodbye. There was no, body to necessarily, it was just like blown up by Voldemort. In a different way, couldn't properly mourn mm-hmm. with Lily's friends and community, and she wasn't even part of her life. But also, think about it: when Harry has his life unlocked for him by Hagrid, and Hagrid says, later on, you know, oh, Voldemort's is like a safe place. Mm-hmm. It's not. Every single year that Harry spends at Hogwarts, Voldemort is trying to kill him.
Absolutely.
And if Petunia had this conflict of feelings, like, this boy who I have raised since he was a baby. Yes, I've been terrible, but I've raised him since he was a baby. I fixed his boo-boos. I gave him clothes, granted bad ones, but I've taken care of him since he was a baby. Now he's going to go in this magical world and he's probably going to die too.
Yeah.
And he almost does many times.
Yeah. I mean, and it, she wouldn't be wrong, right? She wouldn't be wrong for her, she wouldn't be wrong in her assessment if that were the case. I just wonder if that is the case, because she hasn't...
I mean, I'm just playing a game because this is how I want to look at each
chapter. Oh, right, right, right. No, no, no. I think that's fine.
I'm not saying I want to be your best friend. No.
And I think the thing I would say is that there's no textual evidence to suggest that she has anything other than jealousy in her heart. And that need to stop Harry from going seems to suggest that it's just because of jealousy. I personally don't see enough care at all for Harry, especially, you can make an argument in the movies that there's a little bit more there. The fact that they take Harry to the zoo without even question, that he's just coming. But in the books, it's like, oh, no, we can't pawn him off. And we have to take three kids as opposed to two. And, you know, that stupid lady, Mrs. What's-her-name, broke her leg and yada, yada. So I don't know. I'm not 100% clear on that quite yet.
Once again, I was just trying something out.
Oh, no, I get it. And of course, it then leads to, but you're right. There may be some textual evidence to this, Mary.
Okay.
And I just looked at it, and I wanna say it here. She stopped to draw a deep breath, and then went ranting on. It seemed she had been wanting to say all of this for years. Then she met that Potter at school, and they left and got married and had you. And of course, I knew you'd be just the same, just as strange, just as abnormal. And then, if you please, she went and got herself blown up, and we got landed with you. That, to me, suggests that Petunia is aware of the danger in that world, and they were left with him because of you know, the sister, and the way that she apparently, at least in Petunia's eyes, didn't seem to take that into consideration, like the safety of it all. And she went and got herself blown up. Perhaps there is a little inkling of Petunia recognizing that there is enough danger there where Harry could get himself blown up. And why was Lily targeted by Voldemort? Why was she blown up? All of these things are probably mixing around her head, and maybe there is some evidence. Maybe.
I just, you know, reading it through this, you know, with Hagrid saying, you know, oh yeah, we've got Dumbledore and he's the best and Hogwarts is safe. And it just really hit me that Harry's life, granted, wretched living in a cupboard under the stairs. Mm-hmm. Harry's life was safe before. Harry's life was safe before he went to Hogwarts. Now, granted, I would never want him to have to choose such a terrible life. Obviously, living on the dangerous side had many, many benefits, right. And he got his friends in his life. But it is quite interesting. You know, when you think of people who choose to be ordinary and people who choose to be normal, a lot of that is based on the fact that it is safe. It is safe not to stick out.
Sure.
It's safe not to leave the herd. It's safe to do what society has expected you to do.
Right. And there's suppressing the abnormality of their life. And another great thing that the author does, I think, in these chapters is that she makes Petunia and Vernon well aware that Harry is, in fact, different. Harry is born of a different world. Let's just say what it is. Mm-hmm. Harry is born of a different world. And the Dursleys are well aware of it, and they've suppressed that abnormality. And they've done everything they can to suppress that abnormality, even with Harry himself, so that when he discovers, blown up, you told me they died in a car crash. How traumatizing that must be for Harry for his entire life. He's thought one thing, and now within seconds, he has Hagrid, who roared, "A car crash! How could a car crash kill Lily and James Potter? It's an outrage! A scandal! Harry Potter not knowing his own story when every kid in the world knows his name." So, I guess, what is it that makes Hagrid think that it's a scandal, or that Lily and James Potter, there's no way they could die in a car crash? How do you interpret that?
Mortified that these people were given the truth. They knew the truth about Lily and James, and that they didn't share that at all with Harry, and actually filled a false narrative about what happened to his parents, that he does have this ability. It's not even necessarily a choice. He is a wizard, and they haven't even let him know about that. So I completely agree with his reaction, and I've said it before. I think that it's crazy that Dumbledore just dropped this on him, knowing that Hagrid was going to have to be the one to share all of this with poor Harry.
Right.
And it is quite interesting because he shares all of this. It's different than in the book. He shares this all in front of the Dursleys. So in case Vernon and Petunia weren't well aware of what happened, how the most awful wizard like hunted them down and killed them on Halloween night, Dudley now knows this about his cousin. So imagine being Dudley, like perfect little happy present Dudley, you know, gets everything he wants. And now he has to sit there and hear that Harry is a wizard. He's got these magical abilities. All of it starts to now make sense. All these crazy things that have happened about him. And there's this terrible wizard who killed a ton of people, including Harry's parents, except he couldn't kill Harry. So Harry's actually famous. And so imagine Dudley sitting there, jaw dropped.
I absolutely want to take Dudley's perspective. But before I do, we have a couple of comments on the live feed here that I want to mention. Kate Duggan says they are so concerned, the Dursleys, about what people think about them. Absolutely 100% true. And Rebecca Ann follows that up by saying the Dursleys had no right to lie to Harry like that. Now, here is devil's advocate question for you, Mary. The sole reason why Dumbledore put Harry under the care of the Dursleys was to shield him from everything that had happened to his family and the kind of fame that he's going to be incurring as a result of that.
No, that's what Dumbledore told people, though.
Right. But as of this moment, and as what at least what the Dursleys know, that is the reason why. And that is the reason why we as readers have been allowed to think right now. So far, within the first four chapters, we're thinking Dumbledore wanted him to be with the Dursleys to shield him from all the stuff.
Understand. Within this context, yes.
The Dursleys did that.
Correct.
They shielded him from everything. They didn't tell him a damn word. Can we, as readers, be that really upset with the Dursleys?
Well, you can be upset for his poor treatment. Had he been treated equally with Dudley, but not told about the wizard part, I could almost forgive them for that, because he is only 11. Like, he just turned 11.
Yep.
So imagine telling, I mean, think of a child who's 6, 10, 8, and saying, guess what? You're a wizard.
Right.
Like, they may believe you, but especially a 10 to 11-year-old, they might be like, I think you're kind of crazy, you know, unless you really got to prove it to them. But I think their mistreatment of him does show otherwise.
Yep.
But you're right. They did what Dumbledore had asked them to do.
And this chapter does a lot, as we said earlier, a lot of heavy lifting. I mean, the world building in this chapter is gargantuan. We are made aware of an entire world of history.
We learn about Voldemort.
We learn about what a Muggle is. I mean, from the jump, we learn what a Muggle is. A non-magic folk like them.
Yep. Yep. We learn that Hogwarts is the best school for witchcraft and wizardry.
Yep.
We learn that there are good wizards and bad wizards. And we learn about the bad wizard, Voldemort. We hear his name for the first time, which is a really important name to hear.
Mm-hmm.
We hear that Hagrid was mysteriously expelled in his third year.
Yeah, what did Hagrid do to get expelled?
Yes.
And that it also highlights the fact that even though Hogwarts has been made into this magical mystery tour of a school, it may not be all that pretty. It may not be everything that Harry is making it out to be, because the person that stands right before him has been expelled from Hogwarts.
We also learn about Hagrid's extreme loyalty, especially to Dumbledore,
right,
and that he'll take care of Harry. I mean, he nurtures him, he puts a coat on him, he feeds him, he brought him a cake.
Yep, absolutely.
Love
and
it.
Not only that, I mean, we talked about it already, but we learned about what happened to Lily and James Potter. We learned that Voldemort is the one who killed Lily and James Potter. Apparently their house got blown up as well. And then we learn about, let's see.
We also learn that Lily and James were head boy and head girl.
Yes, absolutely. That they were the best wizards of their class.
Yes.
And we're made to think that Lily and James are the all-stars of their class in Hogwarts. And it isn't to say that they aren't, but when you look later on in books, you kind of realize that James was kind of a dick.
I think James changed. Because we will have this great James debate as we move on into the Potter series. Because I agree, there's a lot of things that give you angst about him. But I don't think Lily would have married a terrible person if he had stayed the same. We know that this, of course, is Harry's birthday. It's his 11th birthday, July 31st. Yep. Fun fact, 1997 is when it was supposed to take place. And his letter says you need to respond by July 31st.
Right.
So it's not that you get your owl birthday letter. You get it just like every summer or spring and you need to send it back. So that's why these letters were trying so hard. If Harry didn't RSVP, he was going to miss everything.
Right. From this, we also glean the fact that Voldemort was going after everybody and killing all these different kinds of wizarding families because he's gathering followers. There was this great, in essence, civil war between wizards. But more importantly, we also get the idea that Harry's scar is in fact magical. That comes from a curse.
Yep.
A curse that from killing people, and Voldemort killed everybody. And the one thing that stopped him was Harry. Nobody knows what happened or why, but he was stopped. We learned that Voldemort disappears. It's the amount of world building here is huge.
And then we leave off with Hagrid and Harry spending the night in the cottage with the Dursleys.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about different than the movies. They just kind of like fade to black. Can you imagine that? Dropping that bomb on the Dursley family. Having a giant in your house who has much better food than just stale chips, might I add. Maybe that's why you want to let him stay in the house. He has cake and sausage. Yes, you can stay over and use my microwave.
Jessica Lepore says, I hate James with a passion. I don't understand how. It was hardly addressed in the books how awful a person he was.
Agreed.
Rebecca Ann says, James was a dick, Blake.
You gotta be careful. Sometimes kids listen to this.
Sorry. Yes, you're right.
So,
there's even more. I mean, it's incredible the amount of world building that comes in here. I mean,
just the amount of stuff that Hagrid keeps in his pocket. Like, you learn so much about him even just from his pocket finds. It's crazy. Yeah. So we do. Hagrid, this chapter opens the gate of magic. Before this, it was just owls fluttering bound around in whispers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is where it's the magical world, the blueprint is laid out for us. And I think that is a great place to wrap on up.
Yeah. Lastly, the last thing I want to mention here is the struggle, I think, between the push and pull between what is a muggle world and a wizard world is already being evidenced simply by the fact that we see Hagrid, who's not supposed to do magic, by the way, but does anyway. And again, more rules that we're learning about the wizarding world.
Also very Gryffindor.
Turns it into a pig and whatever.
They don't listen to
rules. We see the push and pull here of these two worlds. And Harry is automatically and immediately drawn to Hagrid. Mm-hmm. He even says that there's a bit of warmth and kindness that he feels immediately from Hagrid later on in the chapter. And you can see that Harry is gravitating towards the power of being able to do whatever the hell you want to anybody you want, which in my estimation is also some more foreshadowing, because part of Voldemort is in him. Mm. And I think you feel that push and pull with Harry throughout the rest of the series, especially in the films. In the films, he wants to be normal. He knows he has friends in Hogwarts, but he also has this prophecy about him that he's the one, and he has to fulfill it. You get this really great sense of it in the fourth movie when Potter sucks and mm-hmm. the whole thing. And Harry Potter is the person who everybody hates in the fourth film. It's for a story like the Chosen One style story. Think of Neo in The Matrix, or Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, or Anakin Skywalker, or whatever. For that person to turn around and be hated is a huge jump mm-hmm. in that kind of storytelling.
Love it.
So that's that. All right, Marvin, time for the emails.
Woo-hoo!
Let's do this.
Okay.
We got some questions here. One question comes from Tracy Hose. She says, hi, I'm not sure what chapter this is from, and I don't know where my books are to look it up.
It's all good, girl.
I believe it is in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I remember that Harry and Ron, can't remember if Hermione is with them or not, were caught walking in the hallway late in the evening. McGonagall caught them and told them to get back to the dorm. It's not safe right now, she says. I wonder what she was referring to. Never figured it out. Also, later on when Harry and Hermione get caught after getting rid of the dragon and they get detention. When Hagrid told them that what they did wrong, and now they have to pay for it. Did anyone not figure out that if that wasn't for Hagrid, Harry and Hermione wouldn't have gotten in trouble in the first place? Okay, that's all for now. Thank you very much.
Ooh.
Those are some good questions.
Yes, and I think I might need to save the wandering around for when we do get to that chapter. The second question one more time was...
When Hagrid told them what they did wrong and now they have to pay for it, did anyone not figure out if that wasn't for Hagrid, Harry and Hermione wouldn't have gotten in trouble in the first place? Getting rid of the dragon, and then they got detention.
Oh. I don't know.
I don't know either. See, this is it, man.
Save that.
We're going to save it. We're going to look into it. So that's that.
Sorry, my brain is just so focused on the Keeper of the Keys chapter episode. But we're going to definitely come back to that, because we can easily put that in the correct chapter question area.
Yes. All right.
Awesome sauce.
Okay, we got some questions here on the Facebook and on the live streams. Okay,
Instagram.
What do we got?
Rebecca Ann says, if you were not Slytherin and yep. if I was not Gryffindor, which house would you want to be in?
Ravenclaw.
I can see that.
Yeah, I would want to be in Ravenclaw.
Okay.
I don't want to be a Hufflepuff. Get out of here with the Hufflepuff.
Okay.
It's everything left over. Remember the movie Twins?
I want to be a Hufflepuff. Because I don't think it's everything left over.
You don't remember Twins?
I think there's a lot less conflict. Like, I think that Hufflepuffs...
She's just ignoring me.
I am, because I think you're incredibly rude towards Hufflepuffs.
I'm out on Hufflepuff.
I can tell, and we're going to have an issue with this for an entire series, because Hufflepuffs are underrepresented in the books, and yet most of my friends are Puffs, and I think that it is one of the most fantastic houses, and I wish I was a Puff.
What's the other question?
The other question from Allie Katie on Instagram, what other tail would you give to Dudley?
Oh, donkey tail, because he's a donkey. Get out of here, kid. You're a donkey. You ever call somebody a donkey? It's like the worst thing you could ever say to somebody.
No.
It's the best. Whenever someone gets you upset, call them a donkey, see their face. It's okay. The best. It's the best reaction.
Okay. I would want to give him something like utterly annoying, like a porcupine tail, because then he couldn't sit, because he would just prick him or something.
Dana says, would you argue with the Sorting Hat?
No.
I would. I absolutely would. If he was like, Hufflepuff, I'd be like, nope, sorry, ain't doing it. I tell him, I'm out. I'm out on Hufflepuff.
Oh my goodness. Well, luckily we've got a lot of puff representation. You shouldn't be out, and you need to calm down with that. All right,
the last one we're getting here. Jen says, "What item would you?"
He likes to just rile us up. You all need to know that he does love puffs. He just likes to rile us up.
Jen says, "What item would you pack in your trunk your first year to remind you of home?"
Oh, sweet. Probably a picture. That was very, 2000.
Yeah, that was very 2000.
To make a collage of all over your wall of, all your high school friends.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. But
I did.
No. Of course you did.
I used to have friends. And now my roommate draws anime pictures of me dying. True story.
For me...
I'm not bitter.
What would I do? I would have been 11 at the time.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, so
still would have been a picture.
You would have been 11. I think...
Either that or the Lion King soundtrack.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I think I would have taken the Top Gun soundtrack.
Nice.
Because that reminds me of my dad and my mom.
Yeah.
And sitting in a hot tub. I don't know why. Just
with your dad?
Yeah, and my mom. We had a hot tub in the house.
And you... hate on Hufflepuffs?
What does Hufflepuff have to do with having a hot tub?
I'm just saying. Don't be weird, man.
Just
don't be weird.
Highway, man, to the danger zone. That's where we're going.
On that note, I think we've had enough questions for tonight.
All right. Well, guys, remember, if you do want to send us questions, either in email version or when you are watching us live, you can do so.
You could even speak pipe it to us so we could hear your voice.
Well, let's not get there. Let's not get there yet. We're going to do emails or join us on the live.
Okay.
Eventually, I think we'll get to the speak pipe. But as of right now, that's what we're going to do. So email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. Any questions that you have, not necessarily
Tracy
trivia.
And Jen, email those to us because they're perfect.
Or just go watch us live when we do go live Mondays and Wednesdays, usually around 8:30 p.m. Eastern time.
If it's even on that day.
I know. Join the chat and you can ask us the questions when this segment comes up. We are at 40 minutes for this for this episode. So
I've been doing my sign language of wrap it up.
I know you have 10. Been. But you know what? There's so much to talk about.
There is in this chapter.
This chapter is just full
I just left
of
when we're like,
life.
This is going to be a quick episode. Sorry, guys. We just love talking about Hagrid.
Yeah, no, this is great.
Okay. So, that being said, let's close up the show.
All right, let's do it.
We want to thank you once again for taking the time to listen to the Potterverse. We want to remind you that if you're watching this here live, that you can actually find the Potterverse in your favorite podcast app of choice. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And if you don't hate us too much, if you could take a moment to leave us a written review, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, well, if you think that that we suck, that's okay. Tell us too.
Please don't.
We'll change whatever we got to change.
No, we won't.
So that'll be that. Remember, everybody, go to maryandblake.com. Thank you for all the reviews that you've been giving us on Apple Podcasts. Please keep it coming. And go to jointhenerdclan.com. If you find enough value in this show, support Mary and Blake, what we do here, that we're able to do these lives. We're able to do these podcasts simply because of your support, especially in this kind of weary COVID time.
We want to bring you some joy.
Yes.
And this brings us joy, so we're glad and thankful for your contributions at jointhenerdclan.com or at landercastclan.com. Thank you, because it makes this possible. So we're going to be coming back at you with the upcoming chapters of 5 and 6 in the very, very near future.
Yes.
Hold on tight. We're heading to Hogwarts. For now, I'm Mary.
My name's Blake.
Mischief managed.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.